welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, Chief Chris Noller from Pueblo Police Department in Colorado. So thanks so much for being back on the show. Welcome back, Chief. Love having you. Also, a former LAPD commander, Jeff Wininger, retired as a lieutenant. He's now in Ohio, and he's also got a new book coming out, On Thin Ice. You can get more information about that at jeffwininger.com or onthinicebook.com. And we have a state, you guys start watching the show daily. We got some new information coming about the release of the book and some stuff that Jeff's got going on. So watch the show every day to get the inside scoop on that. It's going to be some exclusive announcements made on Leo Roundtable involving the release of this killer book. So stay tuned. A shout out to our sponsors. We have Gauls, our title sponsor at Gauls.com. We also have Compliant Technologies, and they are our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we went satellite on May the 5th, and it's been a great experience so far. Arrow Precision USA, our arm sponsor. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now on stream. TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. We will be doing a TwoBells giveaway as well today. Stay tuned for that. FishOrlandoBass.com. Chief, I don't even know if you've heard about these guys, but if you're taking the wife and the kids or maybe the grandkids to Orlando, the Disney, you have options now with FishOrlandoBass.com. They have a fishing charter. You can go fish for bass or whatever you want. And you drop the wife and the kids off or the grandkids off at Disney, go hit the boat, and it's a fishing charter. And if you really are adventurous, they have alligator, you know, hunting as well. But it's catch and release. You don't kill the baby alligator, you know, but you catch them and you release them. But a lot of options there with FishOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Diedrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these guys for making this show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about? Guys, we have actually two main topics today. I grabbed one this morning. So the first one, it's time. Guys, this is like cutting edge stuff. You've got to hear about the stuff. And it is released by Jeff Childers, attorney in Gainesville, Florida. He's got that Coffee and COVID publication that I'm a huge fan of. And it shut it down. Bombshell FBI timeline exposes political interference in the Clinton corruption probe. And also, Clapper allegedly pushed to compromise normal steps to Russia. 2017 ICA, despite concerns from NSA director. So stay tuned for that. That is like cutting edge news. We've also got another main topic. And on this one, appeals court vacates contempt order against Trump officials in the Alien Enemies Act case. I know that you guys are familiar about that, so we got the latest update for that. We also have some other stories. Marine accused of spiking a Texas woman's drink with abortion pills, and now a wrongful death lawsuit has been filed. We've also got Reno police released body cam from a deadly casino shooting at Grand Sierra Resort that left three people dead. We have two videos or two stories with video components that are just, guys, the action's all over it. So that's one of them. And the other one is Brownwood police release a body cam of a shootout that left the suspect dead and the corporal injured. This corporal is a bona fide badass. This is some impressive stuff. Then we got police chief's three-year-old is killed in a dog attack involving a former canine that the chief was actually, you know, holding at the house. We have LAPD. We don't want Jeff to feel like he's left out. LAPD officer shoots and wounds a suspect who was shooting off a firearm in the streets. And then we got Pomona police detective shoots a suspect who presented a replica gun during a foot chase of all things. And then surveillance video. We still got this bicyclist taken out by a Martin County deputy that we haven't been able to cover yet. So we'll get to as many of these as time permits. But if you guys are okay, let's start off with the first main story. And this is from coffeeandcovid.com. Attorney Jeff Childers in Gainesville, Florida is the author of this It's a newsletter that comes out 7 days a week. So I pay, look, it's free 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. If you donate and it's $50 a month, you'll get the Sunday version too. This guy is sharp. He's witty. He can write. And if you simply read Coffee and COVID, and I've said this for years, if you simply read Coffee and COVID every morning, that newsletter that comes out, that's the first thing I do. I'm still sitting in bed. I'm on my cell phone reading it. You're the smartest guy in the room on just about anything that's going on in the news. I mean, that's the same thing we kind of tried to accomplish on this show when we're covering the news from a law enforcement perspective. But now Coffee and COVID started off with the pretty much COVID news. And now it's accelerated to political commentary on all the stuff going on. So with this one, he starts off by saying that just the news ran the story yesterday below the headline, shut it down. Bombshell FBI timeline exposes political interference in the Clinton corruption probe. Now, guys, this is timely because, you know, we've just, and I say we, Trump administration has just taken over D.C. and now they're controlling the D.C. police department, at least for the next 30 days anyhow. And as late as 4 p.m. on yesterday, DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, continued dropping newly classified Russiagate documents on Twitter. And these have been coming out. I like the way they're doing it. They're not doing a massive dump. They're timing the dropping of the stuff so that it gives us time to absorb it. You know, it's not too much. It's not an information overload. And so it wasn't only just the news, though, according to Childress, though. Late yesterday, Fox ran its own story under the headline, Clapper allegedly pushed to compromise the normal steps to Russia 2017 ICI or ICA, despite concerns from the NSA director. Now, the subheadline added that Gabbard declassified emails exclusively obtained by Fox News Digital, and they allegedly reveal that the manufactured intelligence assessment was deliberate, and it came from the very top. So it goes on to say that this these declassifications, they are in the news cycle now, but he's got commentary in here. It's like a fuselage of political artillery is what he says. First, you've got DNI Tulsi Gabbard dropping email showing that then DNI James Clapper, he tells NSA Director Mike Rogers that they might have to compromise on normal intel procedures in order to fast track the infamous January 17th report that blamed Russia for the DNC hacks, even though the NSA director Rogers' team said that they had not been given enough time or access to source the documents to be absolutely confident in that conclusion. And then DNI Clapper replied that he needed everyone to be on the same page in the highest tradition of that's our story, and that they were going to stick with it. So he wanted everybody on the same page. In other words, he was not going to give them any more time and there was going to be no more debate about it. Next, we got FBI Director Kash Patel. He surfaced a 2017 DOJ timeline and it documented about the Russiagate hoax. It got first class, the Clinton Foundation corruption probe was handcuffed, blindfolded, and according to Childress, shoved in the filing closet. And by that, he means that the Obama Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates, she allegedly ordered prosecutors to shut that probe down. And even Andrew McCabe, he required personal approval for any new investigative step, and field officers were told not to recruit any new sources or to collect any documents. And they wanted to shut it down, and that's effectively what they did. So that's the latest information on the intel data dumps that are coming out. And these aren't leaks. These are declassified, formerly classified documents that are now being dumped, or the American people are getting access to these. And so it's all legal. It's being done by the book, but they're trying to let us know what's been going on in the timeline. And I love the way they do a timeline, but it's just set the stage for what's going to be coming next. We don't know exactly what that is. I have to believe with all these declassifications, they're not just wasting their time or our time. I have to believe that there's something coming down because of this. And guys, any commentary on this particular set of news or any surprises on this? I personally love the declassification of the information. Jeff Wininger.
Yeah, I mean, this is breaking news, but at the same time, I would say that generally most Americans already inherently believe this to be the case. And all this does is really corroborate what they already believe to be true. You know, that being said, you know, I would say this is probably all fur and no knickers. In other words, this is a lot of rhetoric and it'll get a lot of people's attention and an emotional value relative to their response to it. But I suspect it's really not going to actually go anywhere.
You don't think, huh? You don't think?
No, I don't think so. I think it's, it's just the political climate that we're in right now. Both the Republicans and Democrats are trying to play the media game and get people's attention and try to foster some type of emotion behind things and, you know, perhaps to take attention off of some other things that we should be paying more attention to. But, like I said, this is getting to the point where it's just really noise for many Americans to hear. And even though it's critical, it's about holding people accountable, it's about wrongdoing, I personally believe that it's all accurate and true, but I just don't have a lot of confidence that it's actually going to go anywhere.
See, if the administration, if there was something going on where they were, in other words, needed, you know, let's face it, when you're in the spotlight and you're under like an IA investigation or worse, and I've been in both situations, you pray for the next guy that hit the spotlight, right? You pray someone's going to screw up, Lord, just help it to be tomorrow. So I'm not in the newspaper anymore, you know, after today, you know, but I don't see anything like that other than, you know, this thing coming up with Putin and stuff, which is nothing bad there. I really believe and expect there to be some indictments on this. I think it's coming. There's little doubt in my mind. I fully expect to see indictments just by watching the way this is being done. In the past, I've said nothing's going to happen to Hillary, and we've seen all kinds of destruction of evidence, all kinds of things go on. And now we're 10 seconds out from a commercial break. We'll pick this up in 1 second, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can buy our gear from a lot of different places, and especially online. But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion, and they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're going to buy gear, please go to Gauls.com and make that purchase there. You know, I just went last week, I ordered a new pair of boots. They're waterproof. Maybe they would have prevented, if I would have had them when I was in Georgia back in April, maybe I wouldn't even, you know, busted my knee up and had to get surgery. So I ordered the boots, they're waterproof. I can't wait to get them in. I'll let you know when I do. And they have gift cards as well. We give away a couple every week on the show, but go to Gauls.com, hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card. They'll be your new best friends. Again, that is at Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, guys. And you know, at Compliant Technologies, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove, has helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. And don't forget to watch the videos, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Chris Noller from Pueblo, Colorado, and also Commander Jeff Winninger, former lieutenant with LAPD. And we've been talking about some data dumps that have been coming down from Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel. And, you know, these are formerly classified documents that are trickling out. It's not a massive overload because this has been going on for weeks now. And I was just kind of, I don't think it's going out on much of a limb, but I am expecting to see some indictments out of this. Now, look, that's just an indictment, right? I mean, there's the old adage, you know, you can indict a ham sandwich, right? Now, where it will go after that, I'm not making any predictions, but I have to say, I do expect to see some indictments, and I'll even go a step further. I expect to see some indictments of some former intel, some intel leaders, some intel directors, and the like, or some agency directors, some three-letter agency directors. So we'll see what happens. But that's what I'm waiting for. That's what I expect, and that's what I predict. Chief Noller.
You know, I'll be honest with you. Maybe it's just I've become jaded, but I'm with Jeff. I think at the end of the day, a lot of noise will be made. Nobody will be held accountable. They should be held accountable, but nobody will be. There'll be a lot of noise made about it, and we'll be moving on with our lives after about 8 months, 9 months of public hearings and all kinds of stuff, and nothing will ever come of it.
All right, so it's two against one. So you know what that means? That means that if I end up being right, I'm going to have to wait. We're going to have to get you guys back on the same show with me so I can say I told you so. And I'll take it. I'll be on the receiving end too. If nothing happens, then I'd be more than happy to have you guys say, "See, Chip, you should have listened to the experts. You know, you have us on the show for a reason. You know, we're the talent. You're just the host. You should have listened to us." You guys can say that too.
Well, okay? It's like they say in investing, except the opposite. In investing, they say past performance is not indicative of future success. But what I always say is past performance is indicative of future success. And name one time where we've gone through this circus and anybody's gone to prison.
No, you're right. But again, in my defense, I said indictments. I didn't say prison. I said indictments. I'm talking about being formally charged is what. All right. So that's just my disclaimer. I got to throw something out to protect myself. So, all right. We got another one back to back here. So this other one, it's from the TampaFreePress.com. And appeals court vacates contempt order against Trump officials in the Alien Enemies Act case. So a lot of people remember that Trump was using this to do what he was doing. So let's just go and I'll cover this real quick. In a decision closely watched by legal and political experts, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, they vacated a district court's probable cause order and effectively halting potential criminal contempt proceedings against senior Trump administration officials. So going after the Trump officials is ended. So the dispute arose from the administration's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act, in which they were using to remove immigrants alleged to be members of this Trent D'Agua gang, criminal gang, and Attorney General Pam Bondi praised the decision on Twitter, stating that our Justice Department attorneys just secured a major victory defending President Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act to deport illegal alien terrorists. And of course, they've classified them as terrorists. The D.C. Court of Appeals affirmed what we've been arguing for months, and now they bring Judge Boasberg's name into it. And that is a last name that I think more and more Americans would not want to be associated with. He is really he's really going down in flames. Judge Boasberg's attempt to sanction the government for deporting criminal alien terrorists was a clear abuse of discretion, failed judicial overreach at its worst. We will continue fighting and winning in court for President Trump's agenda to keep America safe. And of course, that was written by our very own Attorney General Pam Bondi, who we love and support. And it goes on to say it was a 3-judge panel. They unanimously agreed to dismiss the government's appeal for lack of appellate jurisdiction. And there was a 2-1 majority granted to the government emergency motion for a writ of mandamus. And it kind of goes on from there. So, If there's commentary on that, great. If not, we are holding a couple really good update stories. So I will, Jeff, you got it.
You know, I'll just say this. I think that ruling was calculated. It kind of gave a little bit to everybody that has some skin in the game. And at the end of the day, I think the courts are getting sick and tired of hearing this nonsense. It's about the government and the government entities working cooperatively to effectively do what it is their ultimate goal is, and to do it in a measured way, in a systematic way, where they're getting input from various entities that are involved and making it work. And the courts, you know, I'm getting sick and tired as an American hearing people. It's like running to your parents every time your sibling does something wrong. Oh, I'm going to go tell on you. You know, we're going to take this to court. It's getting old. It's getting tiring. And I think the courts are getting tired of having this stuff filed. And they basically are sending her around across the bow of the ship saying, enough, you guys figure this out. Because it's, you know, just because it, you know, puts your panties in a bunch doesn't mean you run to the court and file some type of a suit or try to get some type of indictment. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. The courts have been getting overrun with this stuff.
I think the appellate courts are getting tired of the lower courts' decisions related to a lot of this stuff and really inserting themselves in jurisdictions that they don't oversee. You know, making a local judge, a local district court judge, making a ruling and throwing in a nationwide ban. I just lost track of the word, but a ban, yeah. When they don't have jurisdiction nationwide, I don't know. I think what I like to see is that, and I don't necessarily agree with the president on every issue, but trying to do everything they can to get these violent non-citizen criminals out of our country, I think is a good thing. And you know, if you're going to be doing the terrorism that we've seen this particular group do here in Colorado and across the country, they should be expeditiously removed from our society and shipped back to where they came from.
Yeah. I mean, that makes too much sense, Chief.
Yeah. Common sense is a ladle in a trough.
Well, guys, we're getting close to our next commercial break. These are sneaking up on us fast. So look, our second commercial break, stick with us. We'll be right back. Yes, Aero Precision USA, they are back. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at aeroprecisionusa.com, a beacon of durability dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we are talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And aero defense by aero precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You know, since, well, actually, you can visit aeroprecisionusa.com right now and look at the lineup that they have that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. You know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, and now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. The M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less, but you can have the best. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, community caretaking on August the 20th. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today. Join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Chris Noller from Pueblo Police in Colorado, and also former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Winninger. We've been talking about some national topics, and I think it's time to move on, unless if it's okay with you guys. Let's do that. I know we've got some update articles here. Let me just cover this one. This Marine accused of spiking. Now, look, this is not going through the criminal process, so this is going through the civil process. But it should get people thinking. And so I want people on both sides of the aisle here to be thinking about this. So RVM News, which is redvoicemedianews.com, Marine accused of spiking a Texas woman's drink with abortion pills. And now there's a wrongful death suit that has been filed. So this Texas woman, she's filed a federal wrongful death lawsuit alleging that a U.S. Marine secretly ended her pregnancy. He spiked her drink, according to her, allegedly, with abortion pills after she refused his repeated request to terminate the pregnancy, as reported by the New York Post. Now, the complaint was filed on Monday in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Texas. It accuses a 34-year-old Marine, and it says he's a pilot in training, Christopher Cooprider, of dissolving at least 10, Mr. Pistol, I'm probably mispronounced that, but these pills into a cup of hot chocolate that he served to a 32-year-old, and our female was Leanna Davis at her home in Corpus Christi. And this happened allegedly on April the 5th while she was 8 weeks pregnant. Now, according to the lawsuit, she began experiencing severe bleeding and cramping after 30 minutes of consuming the drink. She alleged that this guy left her home during the medical emergency. He was not responding to her messages for help. And in one text, she sent him at 12:30 in the morning. Davis wrote that, "Hey, I'm gushing blood, please hurry." And his disabled mother reportedly took an Uber to watch her three children while a neighbor drove her to the hospital. Her unborn child, who she had already given a name to, did not survive. And now she's including some other people in the lawsuit, the company that makes the drug, etc. It said that Cooprider allegedly suggested that they have a trust-building evening together. 3 days later, she claims that he served her the drink that contained the abortion pills. And then she said that she later discovered an open package of the pills in her home, and she turned that over to the Corpus Christi Police Department. But later in the reading, it said that there was no active criminal investigation. So that's what we have. I tell you, you think you've seen it all, and then you've got something like this. But just a little warning to people that are listening to the show or contemplate, before you think about doing things, and whether this is true or whether this isn't true. And I'm surprised there's not a criminal component to this, unless they've done the investigation and it went nowhere. But any commentary on this, gentlemen, or have you guys had anything even similar to this at all? And we got two of them. Chief, you want to start us off?
Sure. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this, in my experience. I'm not sure how you would be able to prove criminally anyway that he did this or not, with 3 days later. I don't know whether that, it would depend on how long, I suppose, the drug stays in your system. But, It's very weird, and if it's true, it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I know that we had a martini bar here in Tampa, and when I was working intelligence, that I had reports of a bartender that was slipping stuff in girls' drinks, and he was working with somebody that was at the bar, and then the girls, next thing they knew, they were waking up and they were in cars with strange guys or at homes and all this stuff. And so, I mean, that's about the closest thing that I could think that I came across. Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I find it rather strange. And if this is actually an accurate fact pattern that we're reading in this article, it's rather disturbing. And, you know, it would be very tough, as the chief said, to be able to build a criminal case where you could get a filing and then actually a conviction. So perhaps the only direction it can go in is through some type of civil recourse, because the standard is lower to prove there. Preponderance of the evidence. So, you know, at the end of the day, if this is true, you know, he it's unfortunate that there's not a criminal case, and it's unfortunate that he wouldn't be getting the book thrown at him, because that's egregious. But you know, this it speaks to you know, we got universities and stuff going to be opening up here shortly, and you know, and girls going off to the bars and things. You know, you want to you know, there's ways of testing your drinks. First of all, you never want to leave an open drink at all. Also there's means, some bars and stuff have the ability to test the drink to make sure somebody hasn't spiked it. So you don't get, you get victimized in a way where someone spikes your drink and then you're not aware of what's going on, you know, for the next few hours. So, that's just a really important thing. But, you know, the one thing I picked up on, which I never understood, was have either of you ever had a trust building evening with your spouses or significant other? I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, I guess they were on the outs because he was trying to get her to abort the baby. So she made it sound like he was using that as an opportunity to get together again, where he ultimately was able to spike her drink. But I haven't had to do a trust building thing.
I think my recommendation to my daughter, if she needed a trust building evening with her significant other or whatever, would be that if the trust is that bad, maybe you should bring somebody with you. And then I would not let your drink out of your sight. And if you do, I would either get another one or stop drinking.
I used to work the gay bars, and I used to work with Sheriff Bob White. He was the sheriff here in Pasco County. And dude, I did not order mixed drinks. I hate beer, but I would drink Corona and. Because that's the first beer I ever had, and I would milk a Corona because I didn't want to have an open drink and run the risk of them doing putting something in my drink, which they did. So I would always get a bottle and I would watch them open it, and then I would take control of it. And I did skip the lime going being shoved down the throat of the bottle by one of their fingers. Yeah, I didn't do that either. Of course, you already think that I'm paranoid about food anyhow from the story we told before we went live. So yeah. Yeah, don't get mixed drinks if you're worried about it. All right, guys. Well, good commentary. And I do, after the show, remind me to get the dates of when you were in Tampa over the last about 20 years ago, Jeff. But let me move on here. We've got some stories, some video components. These are some wild videos, guys. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. So Reno police released body cam from a deadly casino shooting at the Grand Sierra Resort that left three people dead.
98, 94, 23.
Right here. Shh. What the hell now? Reno's at 298, shots fired.
Guns right here. Got me.
9-8-9-4-23.
Right here, right here.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God, no!
This is the video. It's just crazy. So yeah, we're in Reno, Nevada. So the Reno Police Department, they released this body cam footage of the shooting outside the Grand Sierra Resort. Three people ended up being killed and injured. Well, three others injured. So on July the 28th, gunfire breaks out just before 7:30 in the morning of all. It's just an unusual time for this to go down near the valet area of the Grand Sierra Resort. And it's a major venue that draws thousands of people for concerts and sporting events and tourism that's just outside downtown Reno. And it goes on to say that the officers, when they get there, suspects, he's already there in the parking lot. They're driving up in the cruiser and he starts firing at the officers. I mean, they're like still in the cruiser. He strikes a patrol car. The suspect was ultimately taken into custody and hospitalized after being shot by responding officers. Body cam footage shows a patrol car being struck by gunfire as the officers arrive. They blurred out on the body cam the suspect when he's down on the ground. There's like blood everywhere. Now, the suspect, Dakota Halver, he's only 26 years old from Reno. He actually ended up being pronounced dead overnight by the Sparks Police Department. And Sparks Police said that our bad guy fired about 80 rounds from a 9mm handgun. And additionally, the gun was legally purchased 2 years ago. He had no criminal or health history. Reno police said the patrol vehicle was hit by gunfire four times, twice in the windshield, one in the tire of the right passenger side and the front right portion of the bumper. I believe there wasn't that the one where there was a hole in the middle of the windshield and the narrator said that came from the police that was inside the car because I saw that. According to Sparks police chief, bad guy walked into the parking lot of the resort from the north part of the property over to the valet area. Once he's there, he points the gun at a group of people. The gun malfunctions. He gets it working, fires multiple times. He hits five people. Two ultimately die at that location, one at the scene and one later at the hospital. And the two deceased were identified as Justin Aguilar and Andrew Canepa. And then he goes to the parking lot and he open fires on a GSR security officer after the officer found him and the security officer fires back. And then our guy goes into the parking lot where he fatally shoots a 66-year-old Angel Martinez as the guy's driving away. So that guy died. Police said there's no motive. They don't know of a connection between the victims and the bad guy and or the resort. So that's the way that goes down. But, it's only the whole video, it's only 3 minutes and 45 seconds long. And there is a lot of stuff that goes down in that video. We've got a little over a minute before we take our next commercial break. Commentary on this one, guys. There was definitely a lot going on. All right, but not everybody. And if there's no commentary, that's fine. We can go on the next one. But Chief Noller.
I think the officers did a good job engaging the suspect and trying to move to cover and still be able to effectively neutralize that guy. I mean, he comes around that trailer and just starts shooting at him almost immediately. Had to be a pretty intense situation.
We had one cop, I believe, with a long gun, I think, didn't we, all the way on the left-hand side, and I think the other guys had pistols. The bad guy, he went down, and he was, like, on the ground under the trailer, I believe, at one point, taking shots at the police officers, right? So not a great position to be in, especially when you're returning fire with a pistol. So, guys, we're coming up on another commercial break, so stick with us. We got another sensational story we're going to be covering with a video, so stick with us. We'll be right back. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, if you have your own agency, he's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. So if you're a chief or a sheriff, that opportunity is open to you. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Chris Noller from Pueblo Police Department in Colorado, Jeff Winninger, former commander, LAPD, retired as a lieutenant. And we just got him talking about really a sensational shootout. Bad guy ended up dying. He did create, I mean, the cops ended up being okay, but we had, four civilians that ended up getting killed by this bad guy outside of a casino. So there are bona fide bad guys. This is another opportunity for, we need more good guys with guns. We need more good guys with guns. And, you know, that said, we have another story with a video component that we're going to be talking about next. And there's, we got a badass cop in this one. So rumble.com. Again, the channel we're getting it from is called This Is Butter. Brownwood police released a body cam of a shootout that left the suspect dead and the corporal injured.
2000 block of 7th Street. The suspect, 59-year-old Holly Oliver, fled the scene in his truck. Just after midnight, officers James Holdar and Caden Goodman observed the suspect vehicle parked in the 2800 block of Frankie Street.
636 Brownwood. Units are 23 on Corrigan. We'll be holding our position until we determine if there's an offense or not.
I'm going to get out of the car.
Both officers exited their vehicles and waited for confirmation that an offense had in fact occurred. While waiting, the suspect vehicle began traveling toward them in a slow roll. As the suspect vehicle arrived at the parked police vehicles, officers Holdar and Goodman positioned themselves between a parked police vehicle and the suspect vehicle in preparation of a potential encounter.
Let's go ahead and move around, I guess, as he comes by.
The suspect's vehicle moved alongside the first patrol vehicle, and the suspect opened fire into the driver's side of the police vehicle with an automatic weapon. Officers Holdar and Goodman immediately sought cover and returned fire.
Get out!
The suspect moved from the first patrol vehicle to the second patrol vehicle and again shot into the driver's side window before driving off.
You're good, Bessett. Handle it.
The suspect then stopped his vehicle and drove in reverse in an attempt to confront officers a second time. Ultimately, the suspect was fatally struck by gunfire, and his vehicle continued in reverse until coming to a stop at the intersection of Norwood and Vincent Street.
So the incident, it's July the 7th, and it continued into the early hours on July the 8th. The suspect, identified as Holly Oliver, but it's a dude, it's not a girl. He fired an automatic rifle. When I heard the firing of this rifle, there is no doubt that this is not a semi-automatic, rifle. This sucker... wow, the automatic gunfire, that distinctive sound. So he fires it into a Brownwood police patrol vehicle, or really two of them, and he's in his car, and he's driving by, and he's shooting through the glass on the driver's side windows on these two different cars and toward officers. So Corporal Salazar, he ends up being struck multiple times, but he remains alert, and he returns fire. Cool, calm, collected. The corporal, along with Officer Goodman, Officer Besson, and Officer Holder, they engage a suspect in multiple exchanges, and I mean multiple exchanges of gunfire. Police said that more than 300 rounds ended up being fired over several minutes, spanning multiple city blocks. Despite his injuries, the corporal directed his fellow officers to safe positions and coordinated the response that ended the threat. And then we have Officer Holder, and that's H-O-L-D-A-R. He was captured on video, diving to the ground as the gunfire started, and he immediately returned fire to protect his team. We had a spectacular performance from these cops. I mean, I don't know what their training's like. I was so impressed with what I saw. I mean, it was really impressive. And I really didn't even go on the notes here. I've got a ton of notes on this. There were so many great things to come out of this. And just talk. I know we got 7 minutes, but the suspect, the reason why this happened over several blocks and over a amount of time is that he kept circling the area in the block in his car, and he would come back and engage the officers. And when he would come back to the scene, now we have new officers. Like when the corporal ended up showing up with another officer, they actually drove up, and the bad guys, coming at them, and they get out of the car, and then there's the shooting goes down. So the corporal is armed with a rifle, and he's actually inside the vehicle. He ends up getting hit multiple times. But he's grunting and getting out of the car. He exits the cruiser, confronts the gunman who stopped his car after that shooting. Remember, the corporal was responding to the initial shooting with another officer. So there had already been one shooting. So the bad guy drives off. He's in the car. Corporal gets out. He's shot, but he's got a rifle. Suspect starts driving at the corporal and the other officer in that car in reverse. And man, they unload at him on the 7 minute and 30 second mark. They unload. And then the corporal, it looks to me like he runs out of ammo on the rifle. He transitions to his pistol, continues firing at the bad guy's car as it's passing by, and the suspect ends up being killed, and then the corporal ends up applying a tourniquet to his arm. Just a wild video. We got almost 6 minutes commentary on this gentleman, Jeff Wininger.
Yeah, the first thing that stuck out to me was when the woman who called, who was the person reporting this incident, she was giving information that I was surprised that didn't cue the communications person to ask additional questions. I'm sure as the police officers would have liked to have known a little bit about whether this guy had any mental health history and what his criminal record may be, as well as what types of weapons he may have actually registered to him. And those are things that can be done and broadcast out to the officers when they're en route to the scene. That would have been helpful. But, at the end of the day, these guys did a masterful job, because this was not a scenario where it's something that you're going to have easily thought through prior yeah. to, and had a plan that you could, walk through and handle this. This was being thrown at them. It was a rapidly unfolding tactical scenario that was just absolutely beyond anything that you could comprehend or predict that you could face, because it was just so unpredictable. That being said, they performed very well, because the reality is people think that police officers are oftentimes these highly trained, killing machines, and it's just not the case. 60% of police officers are required to fire on the range only 1 to 2 times a year. And only 1% of law enforcement officers fire on a monthly basis. So, the fact that these guys, performed as well as they did probably speaks to their commitment to their jobs, where they're taking time outside of the mandatory training that they have or qualification and putting in some range time. And to give you some context, Brownwood, it's about 20,000 people in population. I believe they have approximately 38 sworn officers. So it's not a huge department with an unlimited amount of resources. This is a small department, probably very close-knit due to the size. And, probably doesn't have the financial resources to give these guys the training that would be optimal for them to be able to address this type of scenario. But what an outstanding job. When I was watching it, I'm thinking, okay, what would I do? What would I do? What are my thoughts? Because this became a driving gun battle, really. Yeah. So, what could you do? So rather than the officers staying in one vehicle, perhaps put one officer in the back seat of one vehicle and have a driver in the other. And if you have exterior tactical vests that you use for warrants that may be in your trunk, bring them out and sling them over the, roll down the windows and sling them over the side, so you have some ballistic protection and those sorts of things. Those are the types of things that you need to think through as far as some, out of the ordinary or thinking outside the box relative to tactical things that you can do to put the circumstances more favorably in your position in regards to having an optimal outcome and surviving this type of a threat. But these guys, they did an outstanding job. I mean, phenomenal. They should be commended.
Yeah, I totally agree, Chief.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff hit a lot of really good points. Officers performed admirably well, exceptionally well under extreme stress. I think for officers that are out there watching this, this kind of shows a couple of things. Number one, you don't have to be in L.A. or a Pueblo to have these kinds of things happen to you at work. I think it shows, like Jeff said, the commitment of these officers. It's likely that the department is not providing an excessively large amount of training. I think it does speak a little bit to the leadership of the organization, either at the supervisory sergeant level or the chief level, as far as, or in between, I don't know how big their organization is, about the dedication to the job and what it takes to be effective, even if the department can't provide the training resources that, that maybe it should. But I think, you know, that commitment to the job, the commitment to being a professional and making sure that you are ready when the tap on the shoulder comes. I think those officers are exemplifying that and should be commended. And I think that officers across the country need to understand that this is a profession. The departments can't provide you everything that you want, even in the largest organizations. They can't provide you every ounce of training and information that you need to do the job. And you have to take a little bit of your own time and initiative to be the best that you can be, which is what these officers were on that day when they absolutely needed to be. And it's a tribute to them that they took their job as serious as they did, and they were able to go home that night.
Yeah, you know, Chip, it's really all about mindset. And, you know, you've heard me say this before, it's not what you do on a daily basis that you're paid for. It's what, God forbid, you might have to do. Well, that moment came for these officers. And, you know, vast majority of the time, they perform as guardians. They're there to serve the public, to protect and serve. But at the end of the day, they clicked in, they turned it on, and they became warriors. And they found a way to win. And that's what we're looking for in modern day policing for success in law enforcement organizations. This is a training scenario, not just in how they tactically deployed, but the mindset that it takes to be victorious in these types of situations.
Yeah, totally agree. It's not something that you can really prepare for mentally. I mean, you know, you're never going to come up with this scenario in your mind. I was so pleased with the performance. It made us all look good. So yeah, I totally agree. A great show. Thank you so much, Chief Chris Noller and Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. Jeff, you've got your book coming out too, On Thin Ice. Can you just kind of like tell us where they can get more information about the book? I know that we're going to be giving out more information, you know, coming up, but can you whet the appetite a little bit?
Yeah, listen, what I'll tell your streamers and your radio listeners, tune in on Monday.
Monday, the
18th. Yes. And now you will get all the information that you need in regards to the release of the book. It's the information's being exclusively released here on LEO Roundtable.
All right. I love it. There you guys go. He just told you guys. So we will see hopefully a lot of people on Monday. Hey, a little shout out to the Wounded Blue at the woundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that helps cops out in the world to hurt. And look, our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com, FishOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.